you should have from question 61 on for the lay apostolate. Both manuscripts will be finished by the end of all classes. Here then on question 61, and I would welcome, strongly encourage you to provide us with questions, comments, and then we will spend the last, hopefully, half hour in answering your questions. Question 61. What is worthy of special prayers in the lay apostolate in our day? Worthy of special respect and praise are the single and married laity who in a definite way, for their person and professional competence at the service of the apostolate. The pastors of the church are to welcome these lay persons with gratitude and do all they can to provide the training, support, and resources which the laity need. Never in the history of the church has there been more need for dedicated lay people to cooperate with the church in promoting the faith, both in bringing those who are not Christians or Catholics to the true faith, restoring the faith of those who have lost it, and strengthening the faith of those who have it. Some figures. Since 1965, in 30 years, vocations to the priesthood have dropped by 90%. American seminaries today have one seminarian for 10 in 1965. In the same 30 years, we have lost 80,000 religious sisters, most of whom, as we know, were teaching in Catholic schools, including the building in which we are having these classes. In this same period, 2.25 million Catholic children are no longer going to Catholic schools. I repeat, the need for trained lay apostles is necessary to preserve the faith in our country. Question 62. What is absolutely necessary for a successful lay apostolate? Says the Second Vatican Council, to promote a spirit of unity based on paternal or fraternal charity is absolutely necessary for the lay apostolate. And this is not easy. This means charitable cooperation of the clergy, religious, and the laity. Gone is the day when the clergy could manage the teaching and spread of the faith in countries like our own, when the clergy must cooperate with the laity, but watch it, as I've said more than once, the most important factor is to make sure that this laity is sound, and I mean sound in the Catholic faith. Many laity are involved, and you name it, what call it apostolic work, but so many either don't know their faith or don't practice it or don't live a life which then would ensure the communication of divine grace. Remember, we've been saying, with our close union with Christ, all the teaching of religion is so much mouthing. Christ would use us to communicate his truth to others only in the measure of our own union with him and doing his will according to our state of life. Today is Sunday. Last night, I returned from a week in Denver, Colorado, training Mother Teresa's sisters to, well, be more devoted, especially to teaching the faith. Holy Father's come out with a powerful statement called Consecrated Life, Vita Consecrata. During this past week, 6 to 7 hours a day, I was dictating a catechism on that document. By late Friday night, I finished the manuscript. But listen, the Holy Father in that document, of course, pleads with those who are living a religious life, vowed to consecrated poverty, chastity, and obedience, to be faithful to their vowed commitments. But, says the Holy Father, drawing on the Synod of the Bishops held in 1994, the Church now wants consecrated people in the laity, and even says, he urges married lay people, hear it, to take vows of poverty and obedience, and of course practicing their marital chastity according to their state of life. This is a first in the Catholic Church. Am I clear? The need, desperate need, for totally dedicated lay people, even taking vows, binding themselves under God, to live according to their state of life and the practice of evangelical poverty and obedience, always, of course, to the Vicar of Christ. The Holy See has encouraged me, and we have now an association of prominent deacons who are under three vows: vow of obedience to the Vicar of Christ, a vow to promote devotion to the Holy Eucharist, especially the real presence, and a vow of promoting devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Question 63. What is the responsibility of the hierarchy? Notice we're talking about the lay apostolate. The council answers, the hierarchy is to favor the lay apostolate, furnish it with principles and spiritual assistance wherever necessary, direct the exercise of the apostolate, and above all, all this needs to be said, above all, ensure that Catholic doctrine and due order are safeguarded. I repeat, all the so-called apostolic work of the laity is worse than useless unless the laity are teaching the true, unqualified Catholic faith. And for that, the laity must be trained, because, as I've just indicated, there has been such a drastic loss of, first of all, vocations to the priesthood. And in seminaries throughout our nation, my 26th year of working for the Holy See, the great, desperate need for the seminarians in Catholic seminaries to receive a sound, unqualified Catholic education. And the bishops are to make sure this is provided. Question 64. How dependent is the laity or the lay apostolate on the hierarchy? Watch the answer carefully. There are in the church many apostolic enterprises which owe their origin to the free choice of the laity and are run at their own discretion. Let's make sure we hear it. However, no apostolate of the laity, which calls itself Catholic, may be exercised without the approval of legitimate ecclesiastical authority. I don't think we will know before the end of this century the great blessings of the Second Vatican Council. And one reason is, I think I've told you, for the first 15 years after the Council finished, the only English translation of all the documents of Vatican II was a doctored up and unqualified. Well, there were 2,000, I think I've told you, errors just in translation of Vatican II documents. Most Catholics speaking the English language, certainly in our country, just do not know Vatican II. Among the dramatic changes was the Second Vatican Council made for the lay apostolate is that it divided the lay apostolate into three divisions. First, there are those lay people who work in the apostolate in organizations that have been both organized by the hierarchy and are directed by the hierarchy. Class number one. Class number two. Organizations of the lay apostolate, which are organized by the laity, but are still directly responsible to the hierarchy. third glass, the lay apostolate, where neither the organization nor the direction is under the hierarchy. One condition for class number three is that the hierarchy approve, accept, if you wish, permit the lay apostolate to operate in the diocese. And this third class is burgeoning widely. As the Holy See has been telling me, encourage the third class of lay apostolic work, but as the popes make clear, the hierarchy is never just the bishops. The hierarchy, to put it mildly, includes, what a weak verb, includes the vicar of Christ. In other words, there is lay apostolic work which the Holy See wants, encourages, and the responsibility, therefore, is not to the local bishop, provided the local bishop does permit the lay apostolate in his diocese, but be under the guidance and authority of the Holy See. I could talk for hours on how important it is for lay apostolic work to be responsible and responsive to the Bishop of Rome. Question 65. How does the hierarchy recognize the lay apostolate? The hierarchy may pick out some forms of the lay apostolate which it fosters in a particular way. In these cases, the apostolates are specially responsible to the hierarchy. We are now amplifying what I've just told you. Again, the hierarchy may choose certain lay apostolates for closer association with its own apostolic functions. In every case, however, the laity ought to have their rightful freedom recognized and be allowed to act on their own initiative. In some cases, but only in some cases, the hierarchy can mandate or order to be apostolate by special ecclesiastical documentation. But all that I've said before stands. And remember, until your dying day, do not forget, hierarchy does not mean, comma does not mean, the bishops alone. Hierarchy includes, with emphasis, the Bishop of Rome and St. Ignatius, founder of the Society of Jesus. So I'm sure you know, those of us in the Society of Jesus who take what we call solemn vows, besides the three standard vows of consecrated chastity, poverty, and obedience, we take a vow not to become bishops. What a wonderful vow! Let me take one more waltz to protect that one. We vow to do everything in our power to prevent from becoming bishops. A Jesuit may become a bishop only if the Pope orders him under mortal sin, "I want you to be a bishop. You've got to obey me." So then, he complies. Ignatius knew how well he knew what we call the Protestant Reformation, which is a misnomer, the Protestant Revolution in the 16th century was due to bishops unfaithful to the Bishop of Rome. Ignatius wanted to make sure that his men would be responsible directly to the Bishop of Rome. '66 Can the hierarchy entrust the laity with certain charges that are closely connected with the pastoral work of the church? Yes. This would include liturgical actions, the teaching of Christian doctrine, and the care of souls. In these cases, the laity are fully subject to the authority of the hierarchy and my own directives from the Holy See in organizing what we're calling the International Association of Catholic Catechists. My own directives from Rome are: get to the bishops, find the bishops that will cooperate. The Vatican uses the word benevolent bishops. And the latest benevolent bishop that we found was, I told you, Archbishop Stafford of Denver, delighted to cooperate. But it took a personal meeting, conversation, and tomorrow I'm to fax him all the data that he further needs. But I repeat, all of this is about the lay apostolate. I mean every word of the next sentence: without you lay people becoming involved in apostolic work, the survival of the Catholic Church is uncertain in our country. You don't close 85% of all Catholic schools in America. Well, the nun just walked out. One community, Archdiocese of Detroit, as I think I've told you, in 1 year, wrote to then Cardinal Dearden and informed him in the early spring of that year, "This September, we are leaving 31 of your parochial schools." Nothing the Cardinal could do could persuade those women. The feminist movement began, hear it, with secularized nuns. Do you still hear me?
Yes.
Powerful. Without, I repeat, dedicated lay people to teach you the faith, first of all to your own children, but as the present Pope says, the parents should train their children, hear it, from infancy to be apostolic, to share their faith with other children, unquote, Pope John Paul II. Question 67. How are religious brothers and sisters to cooperate with the lay apostolate? we should hold the lay apostolate in high esteem and gladly help in promoting the apostolate of the laity in accordance with the spirit and rules of their own institute. The average age of the teaching sisters in the United States is approaching 70. As I mentioned earlier, you've already lost 80,000 sisters in America since the Second Vatican Council, most of them in Catholic schools. And, well, I'm speaking as a religious, but here I'm speaking, I repeat, under the mandate of the Holy See. Find the laity, train the laity, organize them. Those are my orders from Rome. Find, train, and organize. Thanks for being here. Question 68. Should there be councils of the laity established in dioceses and parishes? Yes. These councils should cooperate with the priests and religious for more effective work of the apostolate in the diocese or parish. My sincere hope is that in the not too distant future, this building will be filled with children studying the Catholic faith. Well, let's be clear. Three things are necessary. Number one, anyone who wants to teach others the faith must, and this is crucially important, be living a good, I'll add, a holy Catholic life. Secondly, those involved in teaching the Catholic faith must understand what they believe. And you don't get that by, say, pardon me, reading the Michigan Catholic. I'm sure the Michigan Catholic can help. But this is devoted, dedicated study of the faith. These are my orders from Rome. I'm just passing them on to you. And thirdly, and maybe this is the hardest, this teaching of the Catholic faith cannot be for Mazuma, 14 years, living and teaching in New York City. I picked up quite a few, well, Jewish words. Mazuma is one. There must be such love for Jesus Christ that you don't, I don't say expect, but less still do you demand. Money for your services. If it comes, thanks. If it doesn't come, thanks. That is why I repeat, the Holy Father, in a document he published on March the 25th, less than a month ago of this year, speaks of lay people taking a vow of poverty. Do you hear me? In other words, sacrificing so many things in the material and temporal order in order to provide others with the most important thing in the world to be nourished on God's truth. Question 69. What was one of the mandates of the Second Vatican Council for the lay apostolate? It was the creation of a special secretariat of the Holy See for the service and promotion of the lay apostolate. His purpose is to act as a center for promoting or providing information about the different apostolic initiatives of the laity. It undertakes research on the problems arising in our day. Moreover, with the assistance of the hierarchy and the laity, it fosters lay apostolic activities throughout the world. Again, under obedience to the Church, I am a member of the Commission for the Conversion of Russia. The one in charge came from Rome. We had an all-day meeting on Easter Monday in Washington, D.C. We talked last night. He's leaving back for Rome on Wednesday. And just to share this, Father, will you please draft some ideas for organizing American Catholics to help restore the faith. Over 200 million people in Russia for 70 years, as we know, under threat of death, were not allowed to study or practice their faith. Again, the needs are enormous. And I've said this to enough audiences to repeat it here again. On the last day we shall be judged by our practice of charity. And Christ begins, remember, by saying, "Come to me, blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And the first two reasons that Christ gives are crucial. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. What is the deepest hunger and the most agonizing thirst? The deepest hunger is of the mind for the truth. It's not a figure of speech. America is starving. I mean, starving to death for not knowing the truth. I keep repeating Marshall McLuhan's statement, you know, the great philosopher of the media, the modern media. I've said this so many times to so many people. The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. What is the deepest thirst of the human heart? It is for love. To give oneself in love and to be assured of love. And this is where our Catholic faith provides both the truth which feeds the mind, and the love, which nourishes the heart, the will. For I didn't believe that God loves me over the years of the cross that God has given me, however long ago, have gone out of my mind. Only our faith gives meaning to suffering. And what a difference between suffering even patiently and suffering out of love for the God who gives me the privilege of joining with Him in carrying His cross. But you don't get that, I assure you. Having taught these religions over the years, you don't get that from Buddhism or Hinduism. Question 70. How are the Catholic laity to cooperate with other Christians and non-Christians? The Council's answer. They are to cooperate with other Christians and non-Christians in activities that promote authentic human values that are common to all mankind. The key word there is authentic. And one of the great blessings of the pro-life movement is involved so many Catholics in cooperating with those who are not Catholic in preserving the sanctity of human life. Through such cooperation, engaged with prudence, the laity bear witness to Christ, the Savior of the world, and thus promote the unity of the human family. I cannot tell you what joy I've had over the years in teaching in Protestant seminaries. I think I've told you, I've never been asked to teach a course, not even one lecture on Protestantism. They paid my Jesuit superiors good money for me to teach the Lutheran School of Theology. 7 years. The Anglican Seminary in Evanston, Illinois. Catholicism. Well, they took copious notes. I give them exams and test them on their understanding of the Catholic faith. And they loved it. Question 71. Why is training for the lay apostate necessary? It is necessary for several reasons. First, to ensure the lay apostate is based on a sound spiritual life. I cannot either overestimate or repeat that too often. And that spiritual life means that I live a good Catholic life. That I practice my faith. That I receive the sacraments. That I am patient and kind and humble and watchful and chaste. Again, why the training? To provide for correct doctrinal formation. In the next issue of McCarthy Faith magazine, I have a chunky paragraph on Richard McMahon. He won't like it. I quote what he said at a meeting we had in Chicago of the Midwestern Theological Association. Catholics and Protestants, about 100 of us, had a meeting. McMahon gave a speech. What a speech. For 1 hour, he told the audience, Christ did not institute the sacrament of the priesthood. When he finished, everybody clapped, except this stubborn Jesuit. I waited for 10 minutes for somebody to challenge McMahon. Nobody, did I tell you this?
No.
I figured somebody better do it. I took notes while McMahon was talking. Having been on the stage for 6 years before he entered the Jesuits, I turned my back to McMahon. In fact, I walked right in front of him. And faced the audience. Everything that McBride, I didn't call him Father. Everything that Father McBride told you is heresy. And I ticked off all the heresies that he was telling these people. Then, being trained, I looked around and smiled. McMahon was not smiling. And I sat down. I didn't realize it, but then he said, John, call me John. I know why you gave that speech. You wanted yourself recorded in this conference. I said, sure, somebody better refute your heresy. So there's a paragraph in the next issue of the Catholic Faith magazine recording that episode. You will enjoy it. I expect to hear from the Reverend Richard McBride. It must be sound Catholic teaching. A third reason, to prepare for a variety of lay apostolates. Even as I'm speaking to you, we'll finish. I have masses usually at 4:30. But I say to myself, or I tell our Lord, Lord, I wonder whether the people listening really, really caught the spirit. Not what I'm saying, but what Christ wants. I repeat, without you lay people engaging in apostolic work, the future of our church in the United States is in grave jeopardy. You don't close 42 parishes, the Archdiocese of Detroit, without a reason. And the reason is the loss of faith, period. By the way, another statistic, which I quoted in Chicago. In most dioceses of America, attendance at Sunday Mass has dropped since 1965 by 75%. My God. Someone had better do something. And part of that, I'm sure you know, is the way in some parishes, well, they, shall I say, celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy. another reason, to prepare certain persons for distinctive apostolates that are needed in the church in the world in various places and at certain times. And I've said this before, there are two dioceses in the United States that are most in need of lay apostles are Chicago and Detroit. I say this from 26 years of working with the Holy See. Question 72.